Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Ephesians 5:14 says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Today, we are looking at Sardis, whom the Lord called dead, and warns them to remember, repent, and come alive. This is a wake-up call for all the church, including us today. There is a looming danger of dying in our sleep. So we invite you to join in the conversation with ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church, and come alive. As we talk about Sardis today, we probably need to give a little history about where they are. And Sardis is just coming into the Reformation period. So we're coming out of the Dark Ages of Thyatira into the Reformation of Sardis.
And what's so neat about that particular time, Sharon, is because truths that had been lost to the people in the Dark Ages were now being rediscovered, and biblical errors that had been taught to the people in the darkness were now being exposed for the lies that they really were.
So they really had to unlearn some things.
Yes, they did, and it was great that the basics were being enlightened to them, that they didn't have to earn their way to heaven, that they didn't have to look to one man or one institution to tell them what God wanted for them.
Right.
And the Reformation was great because it opened up the ability for certain people to start to translate the scriptures into languages that people could understand.
But I almost feel like that we're in a place now that it seems like we've got to unlearn some things too.
Yes, Sharon, we do need to unlearn some things. And you know what? It's the same thing that Sardis had to unlearn. And that is, we don't have to make a name for ourselves. We don't have to be great apart from the Spirit and the power of God.
Right.
We don't have to show how smart we are with our logic and our reasonings and be entrapped again the way they were in Thyatira, where they were forced to have to do and say certain things. We have the liberty that is in Jesus Christ. And, you know, I just thought of a scripture, and I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 3, and I'm going to start in with verse 14 to kind of set the stage, Sharon.
Okay.
And it's talking about Moses and about a veil that had been put over the children of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And it says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty."
Right.
And that is what Sardis was needing to learn.
Right.
Now, Sharon, the veil has been ripped when Jesus Christ died and was resurrected. That veil was like a partition that separated the people from being able to go into the holiest of holies.
Well, I find it interesting that it was on the heart, not on their eyes, not on their ears, not on their face. It was on their heart.
And their minds were blinded, and the minds with the heart is the same.
It's
the
all
inner
intertwined, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. But the mind will try to function intellectually without the Spirit.
Without the heart, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So we need to make sure that our hearts are yielded to the Holy Spirit, who is to be our comforter, our guide, our teacher, our interpreter in prayer. And the Holy Spirit will always take us back to what Jesus Christ said in truth. And by the way, Jesus Christ just doesn't give snippets of truth.
Right.
He is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he tells us that if we will yield to him, waiting on listening to the Spirit, then we can learn. And you know what, Sharon? It might be that we just learn in little bitty snippets, because the whole truth is more than what we can ingest.
And a lot of times that's because we're having to unlearn while we're learning these snippets of truth.
And the other thing is because we don't want to discipline ourselves to be students of the Word.
Yeah, that's true.
So that we can know the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Sharon, that was really what Sardis was trying to do. They were trying to do everything without knowing the Father.
So they were holy phonies.
That's a good way of
So they looked holy, but they weren't really.
And Sharon, that's a good expression. Kindly, don't you probably know some holy phonies today?
Yeah.
And
at one time, I was a holy phony.
Well, but Sharon, now I know your background. Part of that was in sheer ignorance.
Yeah.
And what you were being fed did not allow you to really know the truth. And I know from your history, you were seeking and you were frustrated because you knew there was something more and you didn't know how to find it.
Well, and I think there's a lot of people out there like that. They know there's something more and they long for it. They desire it, but they don't know how to find it. So they go through the motions of what they believe Christianity is supposed to look like, knowing that something is missing in their heart.
And there needs to be a warning in just what we're talking about right now, Sharon. It is a perilous thing to listen and hear the truth of God unless you are willing to open your heart up. And that is a choice from your will, because truth is not a philosophy. Truth is a person.
Okay.
And unless I am willing to get to know the God of creation through the power of the Spirit by what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us in the completed Word, then we will never be able to figure out the Christian life intellectually.
Okay, so you're talking about our three-part being.
Yes.
With our will, we choose to open our heart to receive, to listen, to know, and to grow.
Yes, and we have just done the correct formula. And you know how I feel about formulas and methods.
Right.
But this is the correct guidance that the Holy Spirit lays down when we will compare Scripture with Scripture with Scripture, where we ask the Lord to show us what His eternal game plan is.
Right.
And the church at Sardis really was not interested in the eternal game plan. Remember, they wanted to look good right now. They wanted to figure it out right now. They had their own particular favorites that they wanted to listen to. And the church at Sardis had the completed Word of God. Sharon, they had 1st and 2nd Corinthians. They could have only gone back and looked at the church at Corinth and how the Lord was structuring the truth to them. And do you know what the Lord did for the church at Corinth?
What?
He told them about how wonderful they were in His Son before He got ready to dress them down and give them a good talking to. And He told them how rich they were in what Jesus Christ had done on the cross. Now, Sharon, today when I talk about the cross sometimes, people look at their watch and say, oh, well, Janie, that's really great, but I got to go. But I see that the most carnal church that has ever been described to us in the Word of God was a church at Corinth. And Paul opened up with the cross and commending them of what they could be if they would look to the power of Jesus Christ and what He had accomplished. And so for the first three chapters, that's what he resonates on. Church of Sardis didn't care to listen to it.
If only they would have ears to hear.
what the Spirit says.
That's right.
Sharon, you know, and if we just learned one thing from each time we get together, we would slowly start to build on knowing the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Okay.
So today, let's talk about how some of the problems that we've discussed begin. They begin not in church. They don't begin out in the workplace. They begin in the home.
Oh.
When we start to listen and observe the lies and the falsehoods that encourage our own way of thinking rather than waiting on what the Lord has said.
Okay.
Okay. Since we're seeing a change in history from going from Thyatira to Sardis, we can go way back in history and see how Abraham was given the calling from God to be the father of many nations.
Right.
And in the course of the Lord growing Abraham and giving him more light, Abraham decided that he had a problem on his hands. He had a good-looking wife, and that wife could get him into trouble, so he asked her to start to lie.
Right.
For his protection.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, just stop and think a minute. How many times do we create lies in our own family to protect our gunk, our junk?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we do that between husband and wife. Sometimes we do that to protect our differences as husband and wife to our children. But then our children see us blow up and have a fight, and they're thinking, something's not right here. Our folks told us we couldn't fight, so if our folks are fighting, we ought to be able to fight.
Right.
And so they watch us, and our example becomes more life than the Word of God. Oh, but we take them to church on Sunday, and they hear the Word of God to be truthful in everything and to live at peace with people.
But what has resonated is it's all about how you look. So It's not what is really happening behind closed doors. It's really just how you perform outside the walls of the home.
In public, where other people might see you.
So then they get the idea that it's okay to pretend, as long as you look good, you don't have to fix your heart.
You don't have to be good as long as you look good.
Oh, that's good. That's what I mean.
Okay. Well, Sharon, there is another issue that creeps up in family relationships, and that is, unfortunately, parents can have their favorites.
Oh, yeah.
So Esau would actually be willing to sell an eternal, valuable spiritual inheritance for something that was just a temporal need. And he got that freedom from what he learned from his father. Or perhaps it was just Esau's mother who really loved Jacob, and she wanted Jacob to have the best of everything. So she reinforced what it was like to deceive and taught her son how to get what he wanted through deception.
If you look at the dynamics of that home, it could be that Isaac ignored Jacob because he had such a close relationship with Esau, and that always tugs at a mother's heart to be drawn to the one that's rejected.
Nevertheless,
Together,
those parents instilled a spirit of competition, strife, and resentment between the two brothers, which led to ongoing feuds that encompassed their entire lives. They never learned to trust one another. They, even when they got back together and appeared to have a reconciliation, there was still separation.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn that as parents can influence, that as the home goes, so goes society, so goes the nations, and so goes the ongoing functioning of the body of Christ. Because everybody came from a home with a parent, whether natural born, whether adopted, whether commingled, it always begins in the home when we seek self and how to deal with life in our own strength, not regarding the importance of the heart.
And that would explain why the home is under such attack all the time.
And Sharon, the scary part is, as Sardis suffered great loss, they didn't even realize what they were losing by understanding to operate in their own understanding. And in the home, we are tearing down the structure of our children.
Right.
And we're ignorant of what were the damage. If we recognized what we were doing to our children, we would shape up.
Yeah. Yeah. Surely. Surely we would.
Sharon, we can go to another example in Matthew 23 where we needed to shape up, but old ideas are hard to break. And that's with the Pharisees. The Pharisees had been taught the Old Testament law. They had lived according to the guidance that had been handed down to them through the ages. And they had a very sterile way of showing forth exterior holiness while living with rotten, corrupted hearts inside.
Well, wasn't that the problem in Sardis? Is that they were all exterior and not looking at the heart?
Well, I think Sardis wanted to look good in status. They wanted to have influence in the community. They wanted to use their church meetings for worldly contact in business and social settings, never once truly caring about the purpose of having a church life to know the Lord and grow in His purpose.
So are we guilty of that today? Wanting our church to be the best in town, the most friendliest around, the biggest outreaches, the most predominant
social life?
Socially.
You know, Sharon, we can fall into a trap of thinking that we are doing good, which makes us look good. And so back with the Church of Sardis, and we do this in our own current mannerisms, the Church of Sardis would recite creeds. That is, they were giving man's opinions about the Scripture.
Okay.
And it's always dangerous when you look to a man for the interpretation.
Right.
And I tell you what, if you get on our internet today, we find so many people who are really being false prophets. They've got the exclusive truth, and they're going to tell you how you can be successful.
Okay.
And you know what? The church at Sardis like to hear themselves give understanding.
Right.
And you know, the Church of Sardis paid the bills. They had a good reputation. But Sharon, the fire of the Spirit had gone out of Sardis. They had had the basics. And the Lord even tells them, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard and hold fast. This is in Revelations 3:3.
Okay.
And repent.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So we get very comfortable in believing the way we're living is just fine and that God's pleased with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have a wake-up call, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That
we need a wake-up call.
And it can be too late to repent if we have hardened our hearts and become callous in how we think about living.
So we end up dying in our sleep because we're too indifferent to care what our heart looks like as long as we look good on the outside.
And Sardis thought they looked so good and that they could figure things out for themselves that they didn't need anything more. And here is the danger. When you think you can do that, you will never trust the Lord.
Okay.
You will never accept the Scriptures as your final authority, because if you can figure it out, why do you need the Bible?
You don't need Him. Oh, that's a scary place to be, Janie.
It is. And the Lord
that
knows.
That just sends chills all over me.
Well, and that's why the Lord said, repent. And He told them that they still had a few names in Sardis that had not defiled their garments, and that they should walk with the Lord in white, for they are worthy. So let's talk for a couple of minutes about how to heed the appeal that is given to us in Revelations 3, verses 2 and 3.
Okay.
And it says, the first thing is that we are to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. We need to quit our indifferences, get back to the truth of relationship with God the Father and the overflow that goes to one another. and we need to give up all of our man-made thinkings and teachings. Point two, the scriptures tell us to remember the former days when freedom was worth fighting for. Go back to the basics we hear when the gospel was given and we received it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with apathy, we've lost the ability to trust God. We are leaning more from the mind of men.
Right.
And then the scripture tells us hold fast. And that Greek word implies to guard or watch.
Okay.
Reestablish your loyalty to Jesus Christ in anticipation of the Lord's return.
Yeah.
He's coming back. And the older we are, the less time we have to prepare before we are seeing him face to face.
Right.
And then the last charge we have here is repent. Do a change of mind that leads to a change in behavior towards God. Because without loyalty to him, expressed in obedience and good works, we will become apathetic to the Lord.
Mm.
And Sharon,
we're kind of seeing that today, aren't we?
Yes, and here is the scary word about the word apathy. It is the opposite word for true love. Not hate. People say, well, I hate them and think that I don't love them. Hate is not the opposite of true love. Apathy is when I don't care if you exist.
Oh.
Love cares that you exist. Love cares and will sacrifice. That is true love. That is agape. That is Jesus Christ going to the cross. Apathy is, I don't care if you live or die. You have nothing to do with me. I'm doing my own thing.
Right.
And we have passive apathy Christians walking around in the church just seeking how they can be ministered to and how their good works can look good for their own satisfaction.
And nothing about the heart
and
repenting and turning and drawing near the Lord.
And to repent is to change your ways,
mm-hmm.
turn around, correct your attitudes, and stop whatever you are doing that dishonors God. And the Lord says, guard your heart.
Yeah.
Because from your heart come all the issues of life.
Yeah.
He must be worshiped in truth and holiness. And you know what? He is spirit. And we must worship him in spirit.
And truth.
And honor. So the faithful were to hear, ears to hear, and recognize the complacency and the compromise that is making the church soft and lost.
And dead.
And dead.
And asleep.
And asleep.
Or asleep and dead.
But now there were a few. Let's end on a positive
okay.
note, Sharon. There were a few that had not defiled their garments.
Right.
They did not allow compromise in relationships with their Lord. They were worthy. They held their lives in balance.
Right.
They lived what they said. And you know, the basis of their true position is to be an overcomer. And we have been called to be overcomers as true Christians. And that's not some elite class. Overcomers are to be everyone that is in the body of Christ. So Sharon, as an overcomer, I just need to ask anyone that's joining us today, is your name written in the book of life? If so, you have complete assurance before Christ and you have absolute security in who you are as a true believer. You'll be able to stand as light in the church that you are attending right now or as the faithful few that kept the light at the church in Sardis.
So be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratcliffe, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHarts.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.